hopefully this is the last day on the burnt offering. We studied yesterday that the scriptures that talk about binding the sacrifice tightly to the horns of the altar. And the reason for that is that the fire is consuming, and it causes things to pop off. So anyway, you got the picture of this oxen cut up and flayed into little pieces, laid out according to the from the head to the proper places. And then it's initially what happened is there was a fire from God that exploded on it. After that, the priest lit the fire. But this idea, the reason the sacrifice is a sweet smelling savor is because, obviously, of being burned. Now, when we give ourselves to be sanctified and cleansed by the Word, then we are confessing to the Father that we are ready to be baptized in a different way. And so let's go to Matthew 3. Starting in verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sin. When he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, or sons of the snake, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits, meat, necessary, or probably best translated here, suitable for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will therefore purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So, and then Jesus several times talked about the baptism, his baptism of fire. And he said, you have to go through that, so that all things after the flesh are completely consumed, and only that which is left, only what's left is only that which doesn't change with time, place, or circumstance, that has met the standard of truth. Now, we don't like to think about the baptism of fire, because fire hurts. But that's why it says, bind the sacrifice tightly to the horns of the altar. So there is nothing, no suffering, no pain, nothing that can take you away from the altar, off the horns of the altar. And the idea, the only way you are taken off the horns of the altar is when your mind takes you someplace. You understand that? That's called quitting or fainting. So that's why the sacrifice must be bound tightly to the horns of the altar. The baptism must be of fire, and that is what produces the sweet savor of Christ unto the Lord. Everybody understand that? You don't hear much about the baptism of fire, except they say that it's something to do with the Holy Ghost, but it's much more. It's much more.
When it talks about unquenchable, it's like a fire that can't be satisfied.
There was something symbolic about a fire, because fires are do major damage, but there's always new life. For example, I watched what happened to Yellowstone back in the late 80s.
Yeah, that's why they're now planning to have. They all have planned fires to get rid of all of the underbrush that heats the fire.
New life.
Let's go to Isaiah 4. Verse 2. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely. What? Okay. For them that are escaped of Israel, and it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from amidst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And that's a reference to the baptism of fire. Excuse me. All right, let's go to... Well, let's look at that. Let's look at one more. We've looked at it many times, but it's in context. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life, and who is sufficient for these things. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Now the only way that you are a sweet savor is because of the baptism of fire. Understand that. That's the only time that sweet savor offering is ever mentioned. So don't be surprised. Don't let anything take you off. All flesh has to be destroyed. Amen? All right. This fire is ever burning. It's what the people saw on the day of Pentecost when they saw the tongues of fire. There was a time ripped above each one of those 120, and they saw that fire. Let's go to Genesis 3 one more time. Genesis 3, verse 22. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever." We've talked about this many times also. That's an incomplete sentence. And what happened was, before, when they, in the age of Lucifer, they ate of both the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that created what we call a spirit world. And it had to be in order that Christ would have been tested in every arena. He'd have been tested in time and space, and he would have been tested in space alone. That's why one of the things of the devil, he took him up into the high mountain, and in a moment of time showed him all the kingdoms of the world, past, present, and future. And he said, "All this shall be yours if you worship me." Now, the way you worshiped him wasn't getting down on your knees and saying, "Pray Satan." The way you worship Satan is give breath to self-seeking. You understand? Because that is the fruit of the curse. You give breath to self-realization. Now, but you have to do it. That's the mystery of God. You have to push and run every rabbit. You have to do everything your mind thinks you want to do. That's the only way you bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. You can do it by experience or by empathy, but it has to be done. That's why the satyrs had to be this place of vulnerability where nothing was hidden. So we could experience each other's, by empathy, each other's experience, which led to the idea of bringing forth fruit necessary for repentance. And the fruit necessary for repentance is to see what Solomon saw. Vanity of vanities, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And that's the seven vanities which represent the 7 days of linear time. That's all you can see. That's his purpose. Vanity, emptiness, futility, puff of smoke. That's the best that you can do, is produce a puff of smoke. Something is... That's the best of your best ideas. That's the best of your best effort. Puff of smoke. Empty. Futile. That's what produces fruit necessary for repentance. Without it, we're still locked in time and space. Many people, they praise God that they've been selected. They're king's kids. And actually, they're servants in Babylon or the world. A little bit understanding more of the burnt offering. You're musing again. Two musers.
When you said king's kid, it reminded me Jesus was a king's kid. He didn't fare that well on the planet.
That's why it says the mind of Christ. let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though being in the form of God, thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Kino, empty. That's the mind of Christ. Let that mind. That's what happens with the fruit of repentance. You let that mind, or with repentance. That can't happen until you've run all the rabbits. You've seen the emptiness and futility of all human life. And therefore you give breath. You don't worship any, or you don't love anything in time and space, because you've seen its emptiness. Another word for poverty. You've seen the futility. Can you see why I keep harping on this? What are you laughing at, Tom?
I'm amused. I'm sorry, I'm amused. I have not any idea. Harping on this, it just sounded funny.
Anybody have any response to all that? Besides Tom? Fire is always there.
Yeah.
It's always burning. It's always ready. But the mystery of the fire is that you have to agree to... Huh?
Sorry, I thought you put a period, not a comma.
Go ahead.
No, I
put a semicolon.
Okay, I didn't hear the semicolon. I only heard the upper part of it. The thing that I was thinking is that it's not obviously by accident that frankincense doesn't smell good until you burn it.
Knows about anything.
Most people know that I'm not good at subtle.
All right, the word in the Hebrew, the word burnt offering is olah, O-L-A-H, and it's some phonetic spelling. It means an ascent. It also means a holocaust.
Means which?
Holocaust.
Holocaust?
That's what burnt offering means. The feminine form, Ola is the feminine form of Allah, which is obviously the Muslim name for God. The first mention of the offering. Let's just look at a few of those. Let's look at Genesis 4. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother, Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground as an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof for the offering. And the Lord had respect unto Abel to his offering. But to Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, the sin offering lieth at the door, is what it says, you remember. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? But that first offering was a burnt offering. And Cain tried to make the burnt offering without a death. But you understand?
There was no law back then that said this, so they were purely voluntary.
It's always voluntary.
So how was Cain supposed to know that there had to be a death?
Well, that's the whole point of it. He saw. You can't know until you see.
Okay. Got it. I do understand.
All right. Go to Genesis 8. Verse 15. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee, and bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, blah, blah, blah. So there again we have the burnt offering, but in Cain's case, it was stench. In Abel's case, and in Noah's case, it was a sweet-smelling savor. One more. Let's go to Genesis 22. Let's just read it. Let's start in verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham, and we said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I, or here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Now, who are the two that it says he took? He took two of his young men with him.
Ishmael and Eleazar.
Eleazar. Now watch what happens. And he calls them his two young men. But he calls Isaac his son. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And he was bound because he was bound tightly to the horns of the altar. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him of heaven and said, Abraham. And Abraham said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, or Yahweh. That Jehovah thing just drives me nuts. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, then in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed. As the stars of heaven, as the sand is upon the seashore, thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. But notice, it says he took the young men and left. Isaac was seen as dead. Isaac no longer belonged to Abraham. Isaac was God's alone. You no longer belong to the world. You are God's alone. You don't belong to your family. You are God's alone. A little better idea of the burnt offering and the importance of it? What, Gary?
Oh, I just got lost here.
Well, the burnt offering is all over Exodus. We're not going to do it. That'll take us forever. It's 10:25, 18:12, 20:24, 20:25, 29:18 to 42, 39:28, 31:9, 32:6 and 20, 31:16, 38:1, 40:6 to 29. So if anybody wants to, well, I said it, not for you, for the... If anybody wants to check it out in Exodus.
So all these burnt offerings and this are pictures that we look at to see the...
To see our death and his life.
Yeah, the completion of what was finished.
Where it says he builded an altar, it's way you been, is the word. But that can also read as way you been, which means understood. And he took of it, and this is Noah, and he took of every clean beast and ordered more clean animals so burnt offering could be made. And then it says he offered burnt offering on the altar. So the whole idea... There's some of the Talmud that talks about wherever it says the altar, it means the great altar in Jerusalem, where Adam also sacrificed. Abraham ascending from the fiery furnace, three young men ascending from the fiery furnace, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And he said, after that sweet savor, the Lord said, I will not curse with the land with water. So they never had to worry about this massive flood, and it was because of the burnt offering. The Lord says it in heart, but we are to command our heart to be at rest. And throughout the Old Testament, there's a strange, well, there's two scriptures, one in Deuteronomy 12, 13, you don't have to go there. It says, take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offering in every place that thou seest it. And then also it says in Deuteronomy 12 and verse 32, it says, whatsoever thing I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto nor diminish from it. Again, a strange phrase, observe to do. Observe to do. And that's what all of these people that are the great cloud of witnesses saw in the offerings. They saw all that was a picture from the hand of God given to Moses while in that 40 days he spent out of time. Observe to do. You observe, you see, and that's how it's done. One more thing and then we'll stop the burnt offering. Go to James chapter 1. This is the biggie of everything we've studied. Verse 22. Of James 1. Everybody there? But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. When you read that, and you read with the mind of Adam, and all you see is say things to do, things to do, things to do. With the eyes of the cross, you see something totally different. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Actually, his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not forgetful here, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. When you look into this perfect law of liberty, you see Jesus Christ, and by seeing him, you are a doer of the word. It's simple. You either see him or you don't. I promise you, if you're keeping yourself alive by any means, you cannot see him. Because your mind will still be blinded. You'll be still looking into a mirror saying, what does this mean to me? It means nothing to you. But to Christ, it's everything. And to the Father, it's everything. Amen?
Amen.
That finishes our look at burnt offering. We'll return to something else Monday. Unless my prayer is answered. That we be gone. But it's this understanding of the burnt offering. If you have many, even a slight apprehension, it'll alter the way you live. All right, take a big breath.